We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
It is one of the best sports days of the year.
Definitely. Definitely one of the best of the year. And I'm not even a college basketball fan, and it's one of the
right.
best of the year.
I think that's what makes it even more special. Like, even if you're not like a big fan, you know what today is. Now you will have, I will say, Joe, there is a group of people who get upset today. That group includes those who get really mad that their soap operas are not on in the afternoon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the coworkers that don't care about sports that are working by themselves today because everyone else called in sick.
That's also probably true, to be quite honest with you. But there are people who will be calling CBS local affiliates around the country today, starting at around noon until 2, 3 o'clock, saying, where are my soap operas today? Yeah. That happens every year. And then, of course, the other part of it is it's now on like these stations you can't find, right? Like True TV. What is True TV? We gotta find True TV on our channels, right? We gotta know and tell everybody where True TV is every year.
Yep.
I don't even know. I find it, but I don't even know what number it is. I just know that I go to one area where like the 40s or 50s. Oh, there it is. Oh, 70s. I don't know.
What, you're not a big Impractical Jokers fan? Which I've
watched it.
Is that not the only show that's on True TV? I'm convinced. I know it's probably wrong. I'm convinced Impractical Jokers just plays 24/7 on True TV for 350 days a year, and then the other 15 days are the NCAA tournament. That's it. That's all they do, actually, over there.
Don't they have a guy named Sal on there?
They do. Yeah, one of the Jokers, I guess you would say. His name is Sal. Yeah, probably one of the most famous Sals.
Probably exactly right. Who's the most famous Sal? That's today with the NCAA tournament is tipping off. Can't say kicking off. It's tipping off. That's what they do today. And it's going to be happening what? Right. So the coverage starts usually right around noon. And then, right, the first game, though, isn't until a few minutes after that. So they set it up.
Yes. Yep.
And the first game today is going to be Michigan State against Mississippi State. Actually, a really good one to start with. 9 versus 8, 8 versus 9. It's not too long ago, Joe, where like one side of the bracket always played on the same day and then the other side played on a different day and they rotated. They don't do that anymore. Now it's these pods where you could have one group of the East bracket playing today where another group in the East bracket plays tomorrow, right? Because they do these pods where they actually put teams in different cities based on location, and that therefore it messes up the time. So there's been a lot of different ways that they've kind of morphed this thing. But at the end of the day, going back to what you said, it's the NCAA tournament. It starts today. And even if you're a casual fan, I think in some capacity, many, 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 many people listening who know nothing about college basketball have entered in some sort of bracket contest.
Yes, we're all experts now. We're all experts in a sport that we've watched. Maybe you're a fan and you've watched a bunch, or you're like me who's watched very little, and I feel way too overly confident about my bracket. Come on, first perfect one ever. It's going to happen this year.
You should. I will tell you, my mom does not know anything about college basketball, and she has definitely done well in bracket contests over the years. My wife, she follows a little bit with me. She watches. She knows some of the ACC teams and who the better teams are, but she has done well in bracket contests just because she picks on whatever she decides to pick on. So that's kind of the way it flows a little bit. I have a bracket contest. And you know what? I don't mind telling everybody on the air because I'm getting paid nothing to do it. I'm doing it out of the goodness and fun of my heart, Joe. So I have a bracket contest at CBSSports.com. If people want to go there and sign up, and I am personally going to give the top two finishers a gift card to the NCAA shop, $50. How about that? I just want to do it because I want to have fun with people, with listeners. And you can go there, and if you don't know about it, you can go to my X feed at Sal Sports, and I have a video with a link to it from a couple days ago, and just click it, and you had to set up a password. I wanted to make it just free and public. You had to set up a password. The password is Buffalo, capital B if that matters. So if you want to go and join my bracket contest, go right ahead. The only problem is you have 2 hours and 5 minutes to fill out your bracket.
Yes.
2 hours. And I'm looking, Joe. There's 90 people that have signed up so far in this bracket contest I created. Again, free to join and not sponsored, not doing anything other than just want to have fun with listeners. And if you want to go there and do it, I'm looking like, I got to see exactly how many are left. But out of the like 90 I looked at last night, I would say a good 20 still said incomplete. So those people, my thought is now, do I just like, what do I do with them? I just can leave them there, or do I just kind of use the manager tool to kick them out? I have no idea.
I might just leave them until, okay. Well, but we'll see. Hopefully you'd think they
would
get
it. It'll say 0 points anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then you would hope they would get it filled by then. Do you do different brackets if you're in different groups, or do you do one bracket for everything?
I have done different brackets. I generally these days, and I don't do a lot. I'm in a couple of them this year, and it's the same one. I just fill out the same bracket, and I just submit it, and whatever happens, happens. I don't want to go through. I have done that based on, which is a good discussion I'm going to bring up in a minute, based on scoring system, because that matters.
Okay. In terms of like how much you get value for picks early on versus like late, if you pick the champion.
Correct.
Can all be very different.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because I think it's really interesting. I actually did research on this. If you want to enter my bracket contest, it's totally free. Register and enter. I don't know if they lock it at like 100 entries. I'm not really sure, but it was like 90 or 89 last I looked, and it's at CBSSports.com, and it's called Sal Sports. You can put your entry in there. Buffalo's the password, and I just want to have fun with listeners so we can, you know, if you win, I'll, you know, tell everybody, hey, this is who's winning on the air, and we'll just have some fun with it. So go check it out today. You have about 2 hours left to fill that out. So I wanted to create like the best scoring system. I don't know what that is. And I've been in different ones over the years. What I don't like is I don't like when you just give so many points to the champion. It really kind of takes away from doing the work in the early rounds. I enjoy picking some upsets and saying, look, you should be rewarded for picking an upset that nobody else did. You should be rewarded for having a Cinderella team where no one else did. Because if you just make the champion worth, you know, 50 points, it doesn't matter if you did that. Then just go chalk. Who cares, right?
Right. I guess I don't even really know what the format is in the groups that I'm currently in.
Okay.
Although now I'm looking, and I'm like, the brackets I'm in, and I guess this would kind of be the default setting at a lot of these sites, is, so in the first round, if you get a correct pick, that's only 1 point per correct pick, versus you pick the national champion. If you get that right, that's 32. So you'd have to pick 32 correct first round games for the equivalent of picking the national champion. Although,
right,
you know, like the odds, there might be some fairness in that, right? Like, what's harder, picking out of 64 teams the national champion or getting half of the first round right? Because that really would be what 32 points is. If you get half, 32 out of 64, you've gained as many points as if you pick the national champion.
Right. And you should, but now you should obviously be rewarded for picking the national champion in some way. I mean, that's it's a tough deal. They have to win, what, 6 games, right, to get there. And,
yep,
right, you go from 64 to 32 to 16 to 8 to 4 to 2. Yeah, 16.
Yeah, 16. Anyway, 16
so
to be the champion,
you got to do that. In some cases, 7 if you play in the play-in game. So what I've done, Joe, is here's how I've broken it down. I did research on this a couple nights ago and said, what is the best scoring method? And I actually read a whole bunch of different people on what they like, what they don't like, and there's some algorithms. Of course there are, because there are algorithms and analytics on this stuff all the time for anything now. There are actually analytics on what works best if you want to evenly space out the best way to do it, Okay. Have you ever heard of Fibonacci sequence?
Yes. Although, yeah, give my brain a second to get the gears rolling here, because I know what that is, but it's just not coming to the forefront right now.
You'll remember it when I start to tell you.
I'm sure, okay? Yeah.
The Fibonacci sequence is when every two numbers add up to the next number.
Right. Okay.
So if you start with one
and
go to two, the next one's three. Then 2 + 3 = 5.
Yeah.
Then 3 + 5 = 8.
Yeah.
Okay. This is actually how people who've done this research on the NCAA tournament scoring for brackets have said is probably the fairest way to do it.
Okay.
And I said, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So that's how my scoring is done. However, I threw a wrinkle in because I told you I also really think you should be rewarded for upsets. So I do the Fibonacci scoring sequence. You get 2 points, then 3 points, then 5, then 3 + 5 = 8, mm-hmm. then 5 + 8 = 13, and so on. I also am giving in my bracket, I think this is, you tell me what you think about this. You also get the number of points for whatever seed you chose to win if they do every single round. If you choose a 1 seed and they win, you get an extra 1 point. If you choose a 10 seed to win, you get an extra 10 points.
Okay. All right. So you are weighting it to make sure that someone just doesn't go chalk. Let me pick all the higher seeds. Let me pick all the favorites. And just
you can.
You could, but you...
You can do that, but you're only going to get 1 point or 2 points every time those teams win, which is fine because somebody who picked an upset might get 0 points.
Right. But you're asking... I mean, really, like the reason I think you're kind of forcing... You know, you can't just pick the favorites every time and be lame about that. Because if you do that... Like, you're probably not going to win. Someone, if you're in a large enough group, like, someone's going to get an upset pick right. And, okay, one team got a 12 seed right, and you, like, look at all, you need to have so much more go right for you than that person because they're starting mm-hmm. so far ahead of you. And when you have, if you have 20, 30 people in a group, at least, even, like, again, someone is going to get a double-digit seed right. And I feel like you're kind of not, you have no chance if you go chalk. So I kind of like that. You're forcing the hand of, you know, of some, like, be a little bold. Like, come on, like, who do you think? Who's your upset pick?
So, you know what, really, it's the 8-9 and the 7-10 games that really get you here. Like, those are so weighty now.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of people are getting an extra 8 points. And I would say, let's say half and half, 8 and 9, right? You usually get half and half. Half the people are getting an extra 8. Half the people are getting nothing when the 8 wins. And if the 9 wins, half of them are getting 9 points, half are getting nothing. So it makes those games much more, you know, harder to pick. But also, it really kind of rewards you for saying, you know what? I'm taking that 12 this year. I got a 12 going 2 rounds. I'm getting an extra 24 points if that happens. Well, that's true. But if you went with a 5 seed, you got an extra 10 points. If that happens and you're out the other points. So that's how I've done it. That's at CBSSports.com. The bracket is Sal Sports, and then you can enter password Buffalo and just having some fun with listeners who want to get on that today. If you'd want to jump on, you have a couple hours to fill out your bracket. We have a really cool show planned for you today for a lot of different reasons. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and Josh Schmidt is going to be a part of the show today. He's our producer. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Joe, in the second hour of today's show, we are going to talk with a rules analyst from footballzebras.com, Ben Ostro. We're going to talk about the new rules that are being implemented by the NFL, or proposed at least. There are a whole bunch of them. Have you looked at the new rules proposals? Have you looked them over a little bit?
I have. Yeah. Kickoffs. The hip drop tackle, I think, is going to be a big thing, right?
Yes.
Beyond that, top of my head, there was review stuff right at the end of the final 2 minutes for penalties. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff.
So we're going to have Ben Ostro on at the top of the next hour at 11:05. We're going to go over the rules proposals. That will be on the table. All of them will be at the NFL annual league meetings, otherwise known as the owners meetings, coming up starting Sunday. I'll be in Orlando for that. We're going to hear from Brandon Bean Sunday evening. We'll hear from Sean McDermott and the rest of the AFC coaches on Monday morning. We'll have full coverage for you here on WGR Sports Radio 550 all next week. But one of the big things every year is the playing rules proposals that the competition committee brings forth. And of course, Sean McDermott is now on the competition committee. At 11:30, Joe, we got to find out what's up with this weather. We put the Patrick Hamer bat signal out. He's joining us at 11:30 today. Okay. We got to find out what's up with this weather, dude.
You know what's funny about that? That is so funny because I did not know that. My wife asked me yesterday, hey, when's the next time you're having Pat Hamer on? Because she wants to know what the weather might be for the eclipse. And to see like an early look of, are we going to be okay? Clear skies, because clouds would be very disappointing that day. And that's coming up in just a couple weeks now.
I will not be here for the eclipse. I am very bummed. I'll be in Australia. So I don't even know if I can see the eclipse in Australia. I don't think so. It's like completely different side of the world, right? But I mean, of course, I'm not going to complain that I'll be in Australia in any sense, but I really want to see the eclipse. Of course I do. But I was texting back and forth with Hamer last night about this. He's like, oh man, I wish you could see the eclipse. Honestly, it's like, this is the Buffalo is the place in the world to see it best. There's no doubt about it. But that said, like you said, what if it comes to that day and it's overcast or it's rainy? That's going to really stink. What I am actually more interested in, Joe, than the eclipse maybe, might be how many people are coming to Buffalo. Like, it is going to be insane. I've seen projections and read projections. Like, hundreds of thousands of people could be coming to Buffalo to see this eclipse.
Oh, yeah. It's not even just Buffalo. I saw, let me pull it up because I want to get the number right. I saw an estimate for Niagara Falls that I think was in, I think, if I'm remembering right, was in the millions of people that are expecting to try to go to Niagara Falls for the eclipse. Like, that would be, I guess, the landscape you would want to, if you were going to see it, the eclipse with anything, it would be the falls, which sounds like a crazy amount of people. Again, I'm going to double check that was the number I heard, but I feel like I remember seeing something like that.
Yeah, that to me is a big part of this. Like, how many people are coming to our city here, what it's going to be like. I really hope it is great weather. You know what happens in Buffalo, right? This happens anytime there's a tent pole sporting event, which, by the way, that's a new term for me. When we heard about tent pole event for the NHL and the arena, there's going to be a tent pole event. I'm like, all right, I guess that's what they call these things. A tent pole sporting event, anytime we have one here, the draft. Remember a few years ago, when the NCAA tournament came to Buffalo, you and I, was it the same one? Was it you and I did a show downtown? I don't know if it was that one or I think it was the previous time we had a major, and I mean major snowstorm, Joe. Do you remember that one? There was a major snowstorm like the day Vern Lundquist was in town. I remember.
Was this the last one? The last one that it was here?
It might have been. I think it was the time before that, though.
Okay. That I don't remember that well then, I don't think.
I don't think we had a major snowstorm maybe one of the days we did. I don't know, but it was, but you know what happens, right? People come to Buffalo, and if that happens, you get the normal and reaction of, you see, Buffalo always snows, always cold. Yeah, it was 72 degrees here March 4th, right? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Then it doesn't always snow. It's not always cold, but right now it is. That's why I'm hoping we do have good weather, obviously, because, A, you want people to see the eclipse. But, Joe, I just want people to come to Buffalo and not say, oh, my God, the weather sucks. And it's going to be on every blogosphere everywhere.
Oh, if a million. By the way, it was a Toronto Star reports. This might even just be for the Canadian side, that Niagara Falls was expecting over 1 million people. If 1 million people show up to Niagara Falls and the weather's bad, that's not going to be great for weather PR locally.
That's right. Wow. Well, let's hope it all works out. And that will be April 8th is the eclipse. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we could ask Hammer like what the projection is right now. But as he always tells us, that's a little bit far out.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We'll check on that. I'm also going to ask him what it's going to be like in Australia, Brisbane, Australia. I have no idea what to expect. I've been looking at the weather app. It looks like it's very much like Florida-ishy weather, which is great because it's hot. But like there's rain every day in the forecast. I mean, I have no idea. You know how when you go to Florida, you've been there, that every day it's going to rain for like an hour in the afternoon, right?
Yes, yes. And it's going to be as muggy as humanly possible. Is that the same as Australia? I don't know that.
I have no idea. I'm going to find that out when Pat Hammer comes on at 11:30 today. Ben Ostro at 11:05 a.m. After we take a break and we come back, we are going to play a game. And Jeremy has given us the license to do it because he created Thanksgiving Survivor and Christmas Survivor and all these Survivor games that we play here. We're going to do March Madness Survivor. How it's going to work is Joe and Josh and me, and we started with Jeremy with one pick. We're going to go around, and each one of us is going to, one by one, eliminate a team playing today in the NCAA tournament for whatever reason we want. Joe, you could eliminate a team because you don't like their coach. You could eliminate a team because you have an ex-girlfriend who went to school there when you were younger. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do, you can eliminate the team. And the rest of us can be mad that you eliminated that team because of whatever reason. But the bottom line is, at the end, we're going to eliminate 31 teams because 32 play today. We're going to eliminate 31 teams playing today only.
Uh-huh.
And me and you and Josh will have one team that we have a consensus to root for today.
All right. All right. I like it. We're going to
get
one
gonna
team.
Work.
We better be
one team.
Responsible with these.
We have to be responsible on how, that's right, how we pick it. And we can tell you, I don't want to root for this team. It's a 16. It's not going to win.
Yeah.
What joy is that, right?
Right.
It could be whatever reason you want to choose to eliminate. We are going to do that on, you've heard of Survive in Advance?
Mm-hmm.
This is just simply Survivor, the NCAA tournament. And then tomorrow we'll try and do the other 32 teams. We'll get, let's see how it goes today. And then tomorrow we'll do the other 32 teams who are playing, because you do have 16 games today, 32 teams, the NCAA tournament, the Bills signed Mike Edwards yesterday. We'll touch on that. The Sabres play tonight at the Edmonton Oilers. That's obviously a big game for them as they stay out west.
In fact, before we take a timeout, because it'll be fun coming up next segment, speaking of Mike Edwards, Adam Kaplan of Pro Football Network and SiriusXM NFL is reporting that Edwards' deal is 1 year, $2.8 million, and it can go up to four.
I'll take it.
Very, very, very inexpensive to sign Mike Edwards.
That is Jordan Poyer money. Isn't that what Poyer basically signed for?
That's right. Yep. He signed for 1 year, $2 million, and there probably was incentives for his deal, too. So, yeah, basically they signed him for the same amount of money as Jordan Poyer, and he's 6 years younger.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. NCAA March Madness Survivor when we come back here on the Extra Point Show, the Northtown Extra Point Show on WGR. Rules at the top of the next hour. Ben Ostro joins us from Football Zebras, and then Pat Hammer on what is up with this weather going on right now today, all on the Extra Point Show. All right, here we go. You've heard of Survive in Advance. Well, we just have Survivor. This is NCAA, March Madness, NCAA Tournament, whatever, Survivor. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Jody Biasi, and Josh Schmidt, we're all going to do this. Jeremy White actually started us off, so here's how the game is going to work. There are 32 teams playing today in the NCAA Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
16 games. Only teams today are teams in our Survivor contest. Tomorrow we can do the 32 other teams that are playing. In the first round. I still call it the first round. I don't care what anybody else calls it. I don't care what the official name is. It's the first round today.
I think it is back to being officially the first
round.
But there was a stupid five-year period where they tried to pretend that this was the second round. Yeah.
How ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to start and go around. And I think I did this correctly mathematically. I actually wanted you to be the person to have the final call, Joe. I wanted you to be like, when there's two left, you got to eliminate one to come up with a consensus, okay?
Okay.
So I think mathematically, the way it works is since we have 31 teams remaining, since Jeremy already eliminated Dayton, I'm going to start. And then we'll go to Josh and then you. I think that's how it's got to go. But either way, we can pivot as we go. And I reserve the right to pivot if we have to do that, okay? All right. So Jeremy has already eliminated Dayton.
Dayton
is out. We can't root for Dayton today. All right. And Jeremy, for whatever reason, he wanted to eliminate Dayton. That's what he did. What was it? What was the reason?
He said
they beat Syracuse in the tournament.
They beat Syracuse in the tournament, which was not the reason I would have picked them, which is I hate the first four, and the first four is always in Dayton.
Yeah, that's right. Well, good. You guys both actually picked the same team. All right.
Yep.
I'm going to start off with a whale. I'm going to start with a big one here. I'm going to eliminate North Carolina. I'm tired of North Carolina. They ACC, blue blood. Who wants to see North Carolina advance all the time except North Carolina fans, right?
Right.
I mean, I have nothing against specifically like the school itself, but I'm tired of getting all the love for North Carolina when, look, Syracuse beat you this year, all right? Syracuse beat North Carolina. I don't even think they are good enough to win the national championship. They'll probably win today, but I'm not going to root for them today. So I am eliminating North Carolina.
All right. Coming in hot with
Josh,
a big
up.
One. That's
yes.
Interesting. I'm going to go a little off the board here. I'm going to eliminate BYU simply because I do not like Zach Wilson.
And that's Does BYU play today?
They do. They play at the second game, 12:40 against Duquesne.
Okay, good. Whew, good. Good. I missed them on my sheet. Thank you.
They were
Thank
on
you.
My board, too, because they always have 28-year-old centers that have been playing college basketball for 12 years.
I love it. Yeah, that's a good point.
All right.
I'm
going to be short and sweet and simple here. I'm going to pick Kentucky because John Calipari is a snake.
Yes. All right. I like that. I like Kentucky. Okay, next up for me. Where am I going to go? Who really can root for a team named McNeese? Is it McNeese State or is it McNeese? I don't even know anymore.
McNeese State, yeah.
Sometimes these ones have state in their name, and then they don't have state in their name. Memphis used to be Memphis State, now it's just Memphis. But I get confused by that, and I don't really need to root for a team named McNeese because it's just, I don't know, how does that sound? Go McNeese. No, I don't like that. Let's say McNeese is out. I just don't like the way that feels.
All right.
Josh, you're up.
I'm going to go with the Drake Bulldogs. There's too many Bulldogs in this tournament. I don't know, and I don't like their logo. Like, I like the Samford logo. Like, that's a cool Bulldog logo. I don't like Drake's.
You're right. If we're comparing Bulldog logos, Samford is definitely better than Drake's. We'll probably get the Samford, though, I'm guessing.
Wait a minute. I found this interesting because I thought the name of the school, Drake, would keep it in the tournament longer for our survivor because of Drake, the singer.
Although Drake, you know, the last thing we all want is Drake, who has to suddenly become a fan of any team that's winning.
Uh-huh.
If Drake goes on a Cinderella story, he's going to try to claim it as his own. Even though he's like a Kentucky fan. Okay, that was actually on my board. So I am next going to go with Kansas. Kansas has won enough, and it's a big blue blood program. Listen, your football team's starting to become good, too. You don't get to be good at two sports. Get out of here, Kansas.
I like that. Kansas is gone. Kansas, by the way, they could actually get upset in the first round. They had some injuries they're dealing with, so we'll see where that goes with Kansas. All right, you mentioned them a little while ago. I mean, do we really need the confusion between Samford and Stanford in this NCAA tournament? I mean, Samford, Stanford, right? They sound the same. I think they both have red, I think. So I'm going to eliminate Samford because I just don't like the fact that it's too much like Stanford, and I don't want people to get confused. I'm eliminating Samford out of my bracket.
Well,
Josh,
the Bulldogs didn't last very long. I'm going to go with...
There is another Bulldog.
Let's see. There is another Bulldog, but you know what? I'm going to do it just because you said it. I'm going to go with Gonzaga. They get away with too much. 25 wins? Like, what conference are you playing in? Like, that's insane. Or what league? Like, it's just...
Join a real conference, Gonzaga.
Yeah, get some real competition, and then we'll talk. Like, you're a 5 seed, and I just... No.
All right, I'm going to pick...
At least you said Gonzaga. They're called the Zags, but it is Gonzaga.
That's stupid, too. That's why they should be eliminated. All right, I'm gonna eliminate Texas here because I need Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy as locked in and focused. I need to eliminate all distractions as they prep for the NFL draft. The last thing I need is their alma mater winning, going deep in the tournament. Get Texas out of here.
Midwest region, 7-seed Texas out. They play against Colorado State. All right. I am going to just go against Akron here and eliminate them simply because they are in the MAC against UB. And, you know, UB didn't make it and UB didn't have a good year this year. So I'm just going to eliminate the MAC team. I know that's probably people are going, why would you do that? You should keep them around. We want the MAC to win. No, I don't. I don't really have any love for Akron whatsoever. If UB was in there, I would totally not eliminate them. But I'm going to eliminate Akron off this. And plus, they're called the Zips. The Zips. It's a pretty cool name, but. Oh, I could have. All right, the Akron Zips are gone. They're out of here.
The Zips are gone.
You're zipping out of here.
That was my next pick simply because of their name. Like the Zips, what is that? Like, come on now. That's
it's a kangaroo, isn't it?
That doesn't make any sense. Be the Akron Jacks or something like that then.
Or the Akron Joey's. Kangaroos.
Right.
Kangaroos. That would have been good.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Mississippi State for my next pick just simply because Michigan State's my team and, you know, don't want to see them lose. Probably shouldn't have said that now. Now they're going
to
be gone.
Now that we know Michigan State's your team, I think they just went higher on our board to eliminate them.
Well, what's funny is it doesn't matter because that was going to be my next pick anyway. I was going to pick Michigan State. Tom Izzo, settle down. Sit on the bench and watch the game and coach from the bench. Guy is always running around and screaming, and he's shoving his own players too once in a while, which is way over the line. Tom Izzo, Michigan State, get out of here.
I like it. Yeah, I would eliminate them fairly quickly as well. Guys, I'm going to eliminate South Dakota State. South Dakota State. Let me see where they're playing here.
What do they ever do?
Right. Well, here's what they don't do. It's South Dakota. What is in South Dakota? I mean, can you even name do you guys know the capital of South Dakota?
Oh, I used to be amazing at capitals, and I don't even. Is it Billings? No, that's Montana.
No,
that's not even the capital of Montana.
It's Pierre, South Dakota.
Never would have got
that's
there.
That's the capital.
I never would have got
so
there.
So, therefore, South Dakota State. Plus, they're playing Paul Hamilton's Iowa State team. Mm-hmm. I'm eliminating South Dakota State, the East Region number 15 seed.
I'm going with St. Peter's next. The Peacocks have had too much of the limelight lately. Like, yeah, cool. You had a cool story last year, but hey, get out of here.
Yep.
Next Cinderella story. Let's go.
All right, I am going to go with another 15 seed. I'm going to go with Long Beach State because their nickname is Beach.
No!
Long Beach State.
I thought you would keep them because of that.
Any form of creativity whatsoever.
But what about the story with the coach? He's coaching for free. That's the guy that got fired.
Remember the guy that got fired and then they got into the tournament?
He's a scab. Get out, Long Beach
That's
State.
That's amazing. The Long Beach State Beach. Yeah, you go to their profile page. It says it right there.
They're not going to win anyway. Beach. We don't want to be rooting for a 15 seed just to be. We know 99% we're probably going to be let down.
Long Beach State is out. All right, so I know this is going to be a very not popular pick with my good friend Tim Benz. I'm eliminating Duquesne.
The Dukes.
Can they at least spell their name right?
Okay,
I mean, Duquesne. I mean, this is not. It's Duquesne.
Yeah.
Like nobody, if you can't spell the name of the school correctly on the bracket, you need to be eliminated from the bracket. I'm eliminating Duquesne.
It almost looks like it should be. It's like a French word, which would be pronounced differently, like Duquesne or something like that. Duquesne.
Right.
Like I don't think they're pronouncing it right in any language.
We were at the Sabres game like a couple weeks ago, and. The name Desjardins. Like, what? It's all the same, and you say it differently, right?
Right.
Like, Derek Roy, but Patrick Waugh.
Yep.
Right? So it depends on, you know, how you want to say it, which is fine. I don't want to care about that with Duquesne, so I'm going to get him out of here.
All right. Josh?
I'm going to go with, let's go with Nevada. I don't know why. I just don't like their logo. Like it looks kind of blah. And like the Nevada Wolf Pack. Like there's already a couple other Wolf Packs.
I got a reason for you too. The Nevada sports fans had a pretty darn good couple of years here with the Golden Knights, and they're getting teams in every sport. They don't need a good college team too. I'm gonna go with.
By the way, our Twitter feeds. People are having fun with this as well. I'm getting. GIFs, GIFs, one of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Somebody said, people are mad at me about North Carolina. We got somebody tell me rubber is made in Akron, the Zips. Shoe manufacturer, tell me all about the, They tell me all about the Zips and why we should not eliminate them. This is fun. Thank you. We appreciate that. All right. What was the last one? I'm sorry. Who was the last one eliminated?
Last one was Nevada. Nevada.
Nevada, thank you. Yeah, you guys made some good points.
I feel bad for doing this because I'm kind of reaching into the past to eliminate this team, but I'm going to go with Arizona here because Sean Miller was one of the most unlikable coaches, I think, in college basketball. There were FBI probes into Sean Miller for some of the things that he was doing. Also, would sweat through shirts like no coach I've ever seen in my life. I know he's not the coach anymore, but I can't look at Arizona without being reminded of Sean Miller, so I want Arizona out.
Arizona eliminated. I think we're down to, we think we got like 20. We'll do a couple more here, and then we'll get into our final, you know, whatever that might be for today. Final four, maybe final six for today. Boy, this is tough. Where am I looking here? Where am I looking? What do I want to do?
It's getting, you're running out of reasons to hate teams.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, like, I don't need a reason. I'm just going to eliminate Oakland. They're just Oakland, right? Oakland, the Raiders. Now, if you don't know, Oakland is also the area where University of Pittsburgh plays. It's called Oakland, so they call it the Oakland Zoo, which is confusing. So this isn't Pittsburgh. This is Oakland out west, I think. And Oakland, unfortunately, is probably also losing their football team after they just lost their baseball team. They're going to lose their baseball team, and today they lose their basketball team in NCAA Survivor on WGR.
I think I'm just checking something real quick. This will be, I think, a further reason to eliminate them. Okay, Oakland University plays.
Wait, am I wrong?
In Auburn Hills, Michigan.
There you go. See, I didn't even know. I thought they're it was Oakland even, out in the California.
Yeah, they're not even really Oakland. They're Michigan. Oakland, Michigan. Get out of here.
What a horrible job on my part to not even know where Oakland was located. I thought it was in Oakland, California. I knew it wasn't Oakland in Pennsylvania.
But see, this is the reason. What just happened to you is the reason they need to be eliminated because they are misleading America for the next couple of days.
Yes. My apologies to everybody who knew that my geography was wrong. But at the same time, I bet you a lot of people listening are just learning this for the first time.
Yeah. Josh, you're up.
I'm going to go with, in the same vein here, do either of you guys know where Creighton University is?
Yes, I do.
I'm not sure.
It's in Nebraska, I believe.
In Omaha, Nebraska, and the road that it's like leading up to the university is called California Plaza. So it's like, first of all, where is Creighton? Second of all, you're in Omaha, and then your street that's going through the center of your campus is California? Like, come on. No, get out of here.
All right.
So Creighton, by the way, whose coach's last name is McDermott, Greg McDermott.
Either of you have a problem with Staten Island in general? Is there a reason I should not like Staten Island?
I don't really have a problem with Staten Island.
Right. I don't hear great things.
I can today if you want me to.
You know, Wagner, 16 seed. We're going to get
where
rid
they
of
are?
Wagner.
Yeah.
They are from Staten Island. I guess I don't need to hate them because of the Staten Island part of it. Big city team. They're not, and you know, we don't need to pick a team at the end here that isn't going to win. So let's get Wagner out.
Who's the most famous Wagner? Robert Wagner, actor.
Ooh. Robert Wagner, the actor, is who? That is.
He was in Heart to Heart. If you ever saw that. Bobby Wagner. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah, Robert.
Towering Inferno, a lot of those like 80s and 70s movies. He was in the Austin Powers trilogy.
I still see him in movies, and he's 94.
I assumed he wasn't even alive. I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, he's the number one ranker.com. This is funny. This site, they just rank things. Number one all time on ranker.com for the most famous Wagners is Robert Wagner. So there you go.
Yeah, see? There you go. All right, we got 10 left. We'll come back. We'll do it. We'll eliminate till we get to one team we're going to root for today in the NCAA tournament, WGR's Extra Point Show Survivor. All right, let's get connected with our fans because we had a few people tweet in about the most famous Wagners. Eric says, Richard Wagner, a famous classical music composer, probably the goat of Wagners. And Carl, oh yeah, Otis Wagner, right? How could we forget Otis Wagner? Thank you very much for all of that. That's getting connected with our fans, and every time we do that, it is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, Josh Schmidt. We have 10 teams left in our NCAA Survivor. Let me run through the final 10. Morehead State, Illinois, Oregon, South Carolina, Colorado State, Iowa State, NC State, Texas Tech, Tennessee, and Washington State. We are eliminating them one by one based on whatever the heck we want and getting to one final team we are all going to root for today. I will start with the final 10, and I'm going to go right to the Illinois Fighting Illini. Guys, a couple reasons here. Number one, get your own damn colors, all right? You have Syracuse colors. You have Auburn colors. I'm sick of seeing and getting confused by who's who out there. Secondly, have you looked at the football coaches on their side of who they've had? Ron Zook, Lovie Smith, Brett Bielema. Yeah, lots of reasons for me to eliminate Illinois right here. I should have done it earlier.
All right. I'm going to go with NC State next, simply because they play in Raleigh. Mm. You know who else plays in Raleigh? The Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah,
never, ever forget
it.
2006.
Love it.
Good, good, good. Good on you, Josh.
I am going to go next with 11 seed Oregon. Kick them out because one of the famous NBA, maybe not too famous, but Dylan Brooks went to Oregon, alumni from there. He is the most annoying NBA player in the sport. There is so much trash talk from this dude that he doesn't back up, and he went to Oregon, so I'm kicking Oregon out.
My brother's really mad now. He went to Oregon. He's an Oregon Ducks fan. He texted me the other night when they got in. He's like, quack, quack. That's a reason, though, right? That every time Oregon wins, my brother literally texts me the word quack.
That would be annoying.
That happens.
Yeah.
I am going to eliminate Morehead State. All right. If I'm correct here, I think Phil Sims went to Morehead State. Like, that's where he went to college.
Okay.
And I know that's a football reference here, but I don't really have any reason to like or dislike them in basketball. They do nothing for me. Morehead State, yeah, I mean, what even seed are they? I have to look at where they're playing today. I have not much of a chance to
they
win,
are
I don't think. So.
They're a 14, so that's
there
tough.
You go. So, you know what? Morehead State will, plus, I think, like, look at all the ones on here. Yeah, okay. I'm going to eliminate Morehead State here. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Washington State next. There are far too many Wildcat, you know, mascots and things like that. I looked up how many Wildcat mascots there are in college sports, and it takes 3 scrolls on the page to get through all of them. I mean, there's got to be like 40 mascots here. Just get unique. Figure something else out.
All right. I'm going to go with... All right, you know what, Hamilton? Your guys are out. Iowa State. Gone. Gone from the tournament.
Wow.
Kick him out.
I thought that was going to make it to the end.
I don't have a reason. I don't dislike Paul or anything. Just, you know, he doesn't want us on the bandwagon. That's his thing, right? Like, he wants to be the guy to puff his chest out when Iowa State wins it all. He doesn't need us for that.
I like it. All right. Next up for me, I'm going to go with Colorado State. They were in the first 4. They had their little bit of shine. Don't need them really shining up, you know, the rest here. Colorado State, nice job. I like the fact that they, you know, kind of did what they did to Virginia. But if I have to choose between the two Colorado schools, Colorado or Colorado State, I'm going to choose Colorado. So therefore, I don't like Colorado State as much. So I'm going to eliminate the Colorado State Rams.
We're getting towards the end here, aren't we?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, Primetime doesn't coach them. He coaches Colorado.
There's like what, 4 teams left
eliminated
at this point?
Are we at 4? There are 4.
We are down to our final 3.
Final three. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
South Carolina, Texas Tech, and Tennessee. I'm done. Just as you, Josh, and then Joe gets to choose the final team we're going to root for today.
Okay.
Let's go with... I'm between two here. Let's go with Texas Tech. I don't know. I don't know what it is about them, but like, if you're the Red Raiders, have a cooler logo. Like, you have just 2 T's stacked on top of each other. Like, get better. I don't know. I've been saying that a lot, but like, it's just, you know.
Can I give you a really good reason to eliminate them?
Yes. Oh,
Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. I didn't even think about that. There it is. Yep. That's the top reason.
All right. So I am picking who we're rooting
this
for
is it,
between
Joe.
Tennessee and Washington State.
No, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Washington State was already eliminated.
It's
down to 2, Joe. It's up to you. Whichever one you choose here.
So South Carolina.
Tennessee or South Carolina. That is who we, as a Extra Point Show group, will root for today in the NCAA tournament.
Whew. All right. I am going to eliminate... All right, I have a good reason for why I'm going to eliminate one of these teams. I just want to triple check that I'm right on the record before I say it. I am going to eliminate South Carolina. The reason in which I am doing that is they're probably going to win the women's tournament. They are... South Carolina on the women's side is undefeated, 32-0, and are minus money to win the whole thing. Like, they are favored over the field. So they've probably already got a lot of happiness coming their way on the other side. And Nashville is my favorite city to visit. And I know Tennessee University is not in Nashville. I think it's in Knoxville.
It's Knoxville, yeah.
But close enough. I love
Johnny Knoxville. Did you ever watch Johnny Knoxville? Jackass?
I wasn't really into those, but I enjoyed them. It was enough. Okay. But I love the state of Tennessee. I love going there. So I am going to pick the Volunteers as our team to root for. And there are two seeds, so you get a pretty good shot here.
That's right. This Tennessee Volunteers. Peyton Manning's team. What other Tennessee Volunteers can we get? Peerless Price.
Yep.
Tennessee.
All-time NBA players, I'm trying to think of, that went to Tennessee. Bernard King went to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. There's not really a long line of famous NBAers or basketball players, though. Like,
issue is we got to wait till 9:20 tonight to root for them.
Ooh. I think
they play a late game.
Did I just make a critical mistake because I just picked a conflict against the Sabre game?
No, I think it's good. You're already staying up to watch the Sabres game. I could look at it both ways.
That's fair. Grant Williams.
Go Tennessee. You know what? You know who's going to really like that? Matty Glab. Matty Glab went to Tennessee.
There you go. They have good colors.
There you go.
I like their colors.
And they're orange. I do like Tennessee. I like the checkerboard, the end zone, the ends of the court are checkerboard.
Yeah.
I'm with this. Let's go Tennessee Volunteers today. Thanks for playing along, NCAA Survivor. All right. We have Ben Ostro coming up next. Now, Ben is with Football Zebras, and we're going to talk about the new rules proposals for the NFL that are on the table at the owners' meetings coming up next week.
Scores. Here's the toss. It's Hardman. And Hardman is stopped just short. Hey, the ball went through the end zone.
Oh, my gosh.
They may rule him down. The Bills are saying that ball was fumbled to the back of the end zone.
Oh, my goodness.
It ultimately was. Remember that review? I was standing right there at the goal line. It was right in front of me during that Bills-Chiefs divisional round playoff game. And the ensuing debate always about that particular rule and whether it should be changed or not. That's been discussed, but it's not on the actual dock as far as I see. Take a look. I don't think it is for the playing rules proposals coming up here at the NFL owners meetings. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. We're going to be joined right now by Ben Ostro. Ben is from Football Zebras. We're going to get a little help from Ben to break down some of these rules, what they mean, and what might happen here. Ben, it's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks a lot for doing this today.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to join you.
All right, well, let's start with that one. There was some momentum, there has been over the years, to kind of change that rule, the touchback rule, if you want to call it that, fumbling. But it seems like the general consensus from the competition committee was, no, wait a minute, you're responsible for holding onto the ball, and it should be punitive, and that's why they're really not going to do anything. Is that the sense you get in that this is really not something that they're going to be looking at to change for a while?
Yeah, they do look at it year after year, and it just never makes it out of committee. Mm-hmm. I just haven't heard any serious conversation from them. There's always been buzz around other teams proposing it. And if the competition committee doesn't pick up a team's proposal, they can bring that to the owners themselves. But it just hasn't been that much momentum. It's something that's been baked into the game since, you know, before the NFL was the NFL. And, you know, basically it is bring the ball to your opponent's end zone, get in the across that goal line with possession, and so the defense has done its job in preventing you from doing that. So yes, you have to maintain control around the end zone. That's a special area, so it's not like when you fumble out of bounds in the field.
All right, let's talk about the ones that are on the proposals that are going to be happening once we get to the league meetings next week in Orlando. The two big areas this year, it seems like there's a concentration, Ben, are kickoffs, which have been discussed a lot, and the hip drop tackle. We'll save the hip drop tackle for a minute. Can you, in your best words possible, explain to our listeners exactly what the rules proposal is for the kickoffs. And I'm talking about the number 10. This is rule 6. And I see it was proposed by the committee itself.
Yes, it came from the competition committee. And Troy Vincent, the executive vice president of football operations, he's been pushing that this is going to happen this year. So maybe he knows what kind of votes he's going to get. But basically, if you saw any of the XFL where the kicker stays back at the normal line, but then the remainder of the kicking team is downfield and essentially kicks over the heads of the remainder of the kicking team, they also have to remain in place until the ball reaches inside the 20 on the fly or is caught there. And then at that point, once it's touched or caught, then the kicking team can move. So it's kind of like a weird situation where there's essentially the ball is in motion, but players must stay still until that reaches what they call the landing zone inside the 20. And if it doesn't make the landing zone, then they treat it the same as a kickoff out of bounds. That's the best that I can do. There's a lot of little parts mm-hmm. to it. You can't call a fair catch. And basically what they're trying to do is encourage returns. Because if the ball does make it to the end zone on the fly, then it's essentially a 15-yard penalty for a touchback. It's not written that way. It says the touchback goes to the 35-yard line. If it rolls into the end zone, then it's still the 20. So there's just so many moving parts to this. So I'd first like to see it. I don't think something like this passes immediately. I think at the very least, the owners are going to take a look at this and say, hey, let's take some time to look this over. And they may push that off until their May meeting. I would be surprised if they take any action. But then again, I don't make predictions because I get a lot of them wrong.
Yeah. And this would obviously have to come and would come with a massive change to the onside kick rule. And would they announce it? Do you think they would implement the fourth down thing? Like, how do you see those two things?
So after a score, then they run the play clock. So you have essentially 40 seconds to make a determination that you're going to do your onside kick. And then once the kicker gets the ball and they roll the play clock for the kickoff play, now you're locked in to whatever kickoff format you do. And my best understanding of it, I'm still going through all the different variables with it, but it essentially puts the kickoff back to where it was originally. And then you just would have a standard onside kick at that point. But we know that onside kicks with the formation rules have just plummeted in their success rate. So that's even something that that has been chewed over for years, whether or not you allow a scrimmage alternative, whether or not you do a 4th-and-20 or 4th-and-15. And, the Eagles actually threw out that proposal. So you might see a little bit of both in this situation.
I've been to the owners' meetings the last several years, and I've kind of seen this play out. It's always been fascinating to me with this rule. You just mentioned it. It's Philadelphia amending Rule 6, Section 1, Article 1, which is they are proposing to add a 4th-and-20 instead of in lieu of an onside kick. And it feels to me, Ben, like there's been more and more momentum over the years for something like this. How about you?
I think that they're trying to settle on what is the best combination of distance to gain and what yard line you start from, and basically trying to emulate where the ball would typically end up on an onside kick, and also making it as challenging as it is to convert an onside kick. So they're trying to find those variables. So it's like 4th-and-15, 4th-and-20. Now the one that they have is 4th-and-20 from the 20-yard line. So if you say that, okay, well, if we kick from the 35, it's probably going to end up at about the 45. But in this case, so they're looking at you have to reach, the 40-yard line. So there's been different proposals there, and I think that's why each year they've tabled it, because it's just not enough to go on. They've tried it out in some of the Pro Bowl games when – when they had a Pro Bowl. But there just hasn't been very much of a laboratory to try some of these things out. And I think that's why it keeps getting pushed off year after year.
All right, let's talk about the hip drop. This is the competition committee themselves is coming out from the committee to amend the tackling technique, or to eliminate, I should say, the tackling technique, the hip drop. And we've seen this happen. We've seen injuries. And, of course, now you're getting a lot of pushback from players. The NFLPA even made a statement on this. I'm sure you've seen it, Ben, where they are encouraging this not to pass because it's making it harder for defenders to tackle. But those, the NFLPA also represents the people who are getting tackled, which I find fascinating. So how do you sort through all this?
So they've been opposed to it. This is not anything new. They've registered their disdain for this last year even. And I think that it boils down to how do you define it? And even after this came up, I was going through a few plays and I was looking at some, there were injuries, and I'm like trying to figure out, well, where is the signature that makes this the hip drop tackle? What makes this any different than a standard tackle, or that this is what a defender has in his toolbox as his ability to get that runner down based on the angle that he's approaching? There are other things like a horse collar or a block in the back where the defender has already been, or blocker has already been beaten. So any kind of contact there is just desperation, where you didn't get there in time, and pulling on the horse collar that causes knee injuries. So they said, he's already passed you, so don't just grab by the collar. You've lost that opportunity. In this case, there's not like one of those components where a player is beaten. These things can happen inadvertently. And that's the thing, is trying to separate something out that is catastrophic, which is essentially that in a nutshell, is that ankles are getting all buckled up, and the ligaments in the lower leg are getting stretched to their limits because there's body weight that's landing on this lower leg. And the way that they wrote the rule, I think that there's a lot that would get in there that is not what they want to keep out. And I think that it excludes things that they want to include. So I don't know if it really covers all the bases. The question is whether or not the NFLPA, which will have representation at the owners' meeting, whether or not their voice is going to be loud enough to overcome the competition committee and the health and safety committee, which are saying we got to do something. And once they do something, they don't roll back any of these player safety rules. Once they're in, they're in. They don't put them in for 1 year trials and things like that. They put them in, and then, it is nearly impossible to take it out. So I think that the Players Association says, look, it's going to bring traditional tackling out of the game. And then you add also techniques like leverage tackling, which are used to avoid landing on the quarterback. Those techniques have become part of the game, and now they could inadvertently become hip drops.
Yeah. Is part of the story on the hip drop also, and part of the equation, how difficult it would be to officiate?
Well, that's also a very important point. How do you write these things in a way that it's going to capture this so that it not only is it going to be able to be spotted, but it's also, that you're going to see that, but that it's going to be caught by officials with the limited angles that they have, based on the positions that they are on the field. And there are some of these things, we see it on TV because we have a better top-down angle. And, we think we see it on the live play, and then sometimes we replay it, and so there's elements missing, or it's just, something that's completely inadvertent. I really don't see a way that they can put this in so that it's first of all, a technique that can be coached, because any of these any player safety things, they want to be able to say, okay, so what do we tell the players? And then on the flip side, what do you tell the officials? How do you ask them to officiate this? And it just seems like it's an impossible task.
We also have a rule that's to eliminate the first touch spot after the receiving team possesses the ball. Now, I'll ask you if this is correct. The way I understand it is if the punt team punts the ball and the one member of the punt team touches it, the receiving team can still pick it up. And anything happens after that doesn't matter, right? You can go in for a touchdown. It's good. You fumble it. It doesn't matter because the first touch is what you could always go back to. Are they just want to eliminate that and say, you know what? You first touch it. If you're the punt team, it doesn't matter. If the receiving team then grabs possession and fumbles, that's still going to count.
That's exactly it. And it's been long understood that the kicking team, I mean, in the technicals, if you go way back, they used to consider that a penalty. It was a 0-yard penalty that you know, the kicking team touched the ball. Then they kind of said, well, this is kind of ridiculous. We'll just say, okay, that's the spot. So that's where how this rule has evolved, how the first touch spot has been available. It still comes down to the fact that it's the receiver's ball because the kicking team has surrendered possession. So to give them a little bit of an out to say, hey, you know, you might be able to get some benefit out of this just seems to go against the whole theory of surrendering possession. And yeah, there is always that fallback, and you know, unless there's like a fumble and then a penalty after that, you know, in most of the situations, yeah, they're going to get back to that first touch spot and be able to, you know, to at least go there. Or if they commit a penalty, that first touch spot goes, at least they get the spot of the penalty. But it's one of these things that, you know, if they've already touched it, they've already put it in a position that is already disadvantageous to the receiving team. So why put an extra handicap on them?
One thing we don't have this year, Ben and Joe, no overtime rules proposals as far as what I've seen. We went a long time with a lot of overtime rules proposals. We don't have that. But we do, Ben, have, traditionally we do this, something with replay and something with challenges. So we have one from Detroit. Protect a club's ability to challenge a third ruling following one successful challenge. And we also have one that basically allows coaches to challenge inside 2 minutes. And this Detroit one, I agree. I don't understand. Why should a coach be penalized if you win the challenge, you still kind of lose it? It never made sense to me.
Well, yeah, and that's something that has been it really goes back to the beginning of replay. In that period of time between when they had the replay booth have complete jurisdiction, and in 1999 when they brought the challenge system on, they were just really adamant that, like, how many times are we going to change something in a game? And they really wanted it limited at two, and coaches are like, you know, but if we're right, you know, give us a little bit extra. And that's always been part of the equation, is that you're going to use a challenge because you think you're going to prevail, not because, well, we'll just see what happens. And then I still have one in my pocket, and then maybe I'll get another one if this third challenge proposal goes through. It just kind of goes against that initial thinking that they really want to keep as much of these out of the game. Then they started taking things out of the coach's hands, say, well, we'll take over turnovers, we'll do touchdowns, we'll handle everything inside 2 minutes. And so now it's rare that a coach does get to a third challenge. And usually if they do, it's because they've had like some of these small wins that really were kind of delays again. They're not like real big major overturns. So the idea of adding the third challenge, that's been floated a few times, and either it's failed or it's been withdrawn. Let me go to the other one, which you don't exactly have it right, which is it really just comes back to having replay give the ability to review any penalty flag that's
on the field. Thank you.
They worded it kind of weird. So they say coach or replay official inside 2 minutes. So it's still replay official inside 2 minutes, but they want to be able to say if there's a flag on the field, a yellow flag, we want to put a red flag down there and say, are you sure? And the reason why that's probably not going to pass is we're going to go back to that year that we had all of the pass interference rules under the replay microscope. It just didn't fit. You don't re-officiate a play in replay. You try to confirm that the or make sure that there was no error made on the field. If you don't see anything, then you let it stand. It's not that, well, if I had been on there, I would have called it this way. It's not a substitute in judgment. That was part of the original replay from the 80s. Now they're saying, okay, here's your call. Now I'm going to see if there's anything to overturn it. And if there isn't anything, then we'll just leave it. And that's why a lot of the pass interference calls that we thought would be overturned, they wound up standing because there wasn't enough to say, okay, yeah, this is absolutely something where we have to overturn. There's just too much judgment in there. And that's what you wind up with. Other than things that affect lines on the field and number of players, there's not really very much that is reviewable that would fit into that box. Yeah, you're going to have like that roughing the passer that, you know, it's like, oh, it's so obvious. But that's going to be the outlier, and it's not going to be the one that's going to drive a rule change. So it might have enough momentum behind it, but things like that have failed in the past.
Interesting. All right, before we let you go, one last one. I didn't realize this until I just read it. There is a rules proposal to allow for replay if there is clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before the snap. But this is not the play clock, right? This is the game clock. That's where I'm wondering, because how many times have we watched, Ben, where, oh my God, it's at zeros and they still snap the ball, right? This is not the play clock, but they have to do something about that. Can you kind of walk us through what that situation is with the play clock at zero in the stands and the TV? This is the game clock expiring, though.
Yeah, this is only for the expiration of the period to make sure you get the snap off in time. And I think that has a good chance of passing. But they have left the play clock alone because it doesn't operate like a shot clock. It's more of it starts when the ball is freed from the previous play. You know, when the ball is in the official's hands, you know, then it's arbitrarily started by the play clock operator. So there is a little bit of wiggle room in what exactly the 40 seconds constitutes there. And basically that it goes back to the days when the play clock was on the official's wrist, which is, you know, we'll give you a signal and just, you know, I'll give you a 5-second signal and count you down. And as long as you're close enough, we'll give it to you. And in this situation, and we do explain it every time when it does come up, it's the back judge that makes the call, which is to see zero on the clock and then train your eyes on the ball. If the snap is underway, then it's on time. And even at that, it's going to take you a moment to see, oh, is that ball moving? Or, you know, is it just starting to move and it's not moving that much? And then keep in mind the back judge is 30 yards downfield. That's the mechanic that they've put in place. They've looked at different things, whether or not you put sound into the official's earpiece. And it just comes back to the fact that they don't want to officiate it that tight. If you do that, there's more delay of game penalties in the game. And I think that the motion is more towards, hey, let's have more snaps and less flags.
Ben, great stuff. Thank you so much. We went pretty long with you today, so we appreciate a lot of time because there's a lot of stuff here to digest at the league meetings on Sunday. And people can go to the website, footballzebras.com. Also follow you guys on Twitter, @footballzebras. A lot of good stuff there. And if anybody has any questions about that, I'm sure you're, you know, there to break it all down. So thank you so much today.
Thank you very much. And we miss you, Murph, and we can't wait to see you come back.
Yeah, thank you. No doubt about it. And we do see Murph at the games in the radio booth sometimes, and we'll make sure we pass that along. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, you got it. That is Ben Ostro of Football Zebras. Good stuff there. We'll take a timeout. Pat Hammer, the Hammer, is going to join us to talk about the weather. What is up with this? We'll get answers from our guy, Patrick Hammer, next up on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear. Is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You are about to find out. Here's Sal and Joe with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
We will hear from our guy Patrick Hammer in just a moment. He is wrapping a few things up at WGRZ TV2. He'll give us a call, and we'll get Pat on the horn here to talk about the weather. Maybe he's a little afraid, Joe. He doesn't want to. You know, the weather. He's a meteorologist, and we're having some not good weather here, so he's not the most popular person in town right now.
It is. Yeah. What? Did someone jinx it? Because I know I declared. It could be me. I declared winter
did you
over.
Declare winter over?
Probably multiple times. And I'm looking outside and I see snow on the ground right now. Not good.
There are close to 300 people now who have entered my bracket contest. I love this, Joe. It's great. I got
300.
You got, folks, you got 25 minutes here. I mean, the games don't tip off until 12:15, but you got to get them locked in. I got a lot of people who haven't even filled them out. But if you want, just doing something fun for listeners, for us to follow along, I'll keep track of it on the air, and it's totally free. Register, get in at cbssports.com. The top two places, I'm going to give a $50 gift card to the NCAA online shop. My buddy Del Reed at 26 Shirts going to throw in a shirt for the winner, but you know, we're just doing something just for fun, for people to have some fun to follow along with the tournament. And if you want to do that, you can check out my X feed, Twitter. You can go to Sal Sports, and you can click on the link, and you can play along with us, and we'll keep you updated. In the meantime, Joe and Josh and me, we went through NCAA Survivor. Mm-hmm. We eliminated one team, each of us, when going around, until we got to the last team playing today, and the team we're going to root for is Tennessee, the Tennessee Volunteers. I thought about actually eliminating Tennessee early on because I'm like, you know, the Volunteers, not the most sexy name, but I mean, I do like their colors. They're orange. I root for orange. So we're good. We're good with Tennessee today. They take on St. Peter's. So we'll root for them tonight. By the way, as you said, Joe, they are also taking them on at the same time that the Sabres are playing against the Edmonton Oilers. Sabres have a big game against Edmonton tonight.
Yep.
Do we know yet who's in goal? Have we seen this yet from Paul or anybody else? Is it going to be UPL? Because there's back-to-back coming up here.
Yeah. Granato even joked around with us a little bit this morning that like it's gonna be Lukanen. Okay. I'd be stunned otherwise. They don't play again until Sunday, I think, right? They play...
Oh, okay. Oh, it's not... Oh, that's right.
Yeah, no, their next back-to-back...
Oh, it's not back-to-back. My fault.
When they're back at home. Yeah, they play tonight and then Sunday and then Wednesday. Okay. So I would, yeah. The next back-to-back is next Friday and Saturday. I bet you would see Levi then. Could. But yeah, Lukanen's gonna be in goal tonight. I'd be sure.
All right, let's get to the Western Hotline right now, where I got Patrick Hammer standing by, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist. Pat, I said maybe you just didn't want to come on with us because the meteorologist is not the most popular person in town when the weather turns like this.
I just went and spoke at a school this morning, and they literally ran me out of the classroom.
They threw snowballs at you.
I did. It was the Frank Sedata School, and I walk into the auditorium, and it was booze and paper balls thrown at me, and I had to be escorted out. I'm just kidding.
I don't think that was the case. I'm sure the students and the staff treated you very nicely, but they probably asked you the same question that I'm about to ask you, which is, what the hell is going on with this weather?
Okay, first of all, I like to refer to this segment as our spring break segment. We have one every year, Sal. In fact, two years ago, I spoke to you from the customs department at the airport in Baja, California, Cabo San Lucas. I'll never forget it. So it's fun to have these kind of mid-season updates and to talk about the mercurial weather going on here. I got to tell you, despite how cold it is, if March were to end today, this would go down as the third warmest March on record. And you're like, what? It's snowing. It's cold. You got to remember how the month started. We had 2 days in the 70s, a couple of days in the 60s, most days in the 50s. You know, we did reports on golf courses opening, you know, all of that. St. Patrick's Day hit. And then, yeah, we've kind of taken a plunge ever since. And it's cold. And it's tonight, it's going to be, I mean, today it's going to feel like January. Tomorrow, it's going to snow like January, especially later in the day and tomorrow night. And yeah, it's going to be like, what the heck? Where was this, in the wintertime? decided to show
Wasn't
up.
Wasn't it 72 back on March 4th?
We had 2 days in a row of 72. 2 days in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, it was like, you know, and this is coming off what was, a believe it or not, a really mild winter. You know, we had 1 week of crazy in January when the Bills had to move their game to from Sunday to Monday. You had all of that. You had that, you know, crazy one. It was like 1 week of winter this season. And then as we climb out into spring, winter's like, I'm back. And it has one last, you know, one last little hurrah, which is what's going to happen over the next 48 hours.
What exactly is going to happen over the next 48 hours, Patrick?
Here's what we got. Okay, so today cold, 20s all day. It's pretty cold for late March, I will admit. Then tonight we're down into the teens, clear skies. Tomorrow it's fine during the day, but in the afternoon snow develops. And by tomorrow night it's snowing, and it's snowing pretty good in Buffalo to Amherst, Williamsville, Clarence. However, to the south, places like, oh man, from about, I would say, Hamburg to East Aurora to Eden and points south, there might be a mix to rain. And that rain snow line is going to be very tricky to call because that really affects snowfall totals. So the southern half of our area is going to mix to rain, but I think Buffalo and the north towns stay snow tomorrow night into Saturday morning. So Saturday morning, if you live, again, Buffalo North, we've got 2 to 4 inches of snow on the ground. But to the south, it'll be less because it'll mix with some rain. Saturday afternoon, it dries out. Sunday, beautiful, but 30s for highs. When does it warm up? It warms up next week. We're into the 50s. But I'm a little cautious about a long range because Easter, which is coming up a week from Sunday, there might be something brewing for that weekend as well.
Yeah, I almost feel like the way this month is going, Pat, it's going to end up being like the weirdest March on record. Like how many days spent around the average temperature? I feel like on one hand, maybe I'll be able to count that.
Such a good point, Joe. We're going to be 10 degrees either side of normal, it seems like, throughout the month. And days that were actually close to what a typical March day would be are few and far between. That's a very good point, Mark. Yeah, and, you know, springs can do that. I mean, you know, the record high today is 82. Which is if anybody remembers, that was the spring of 2012 when it was crazy warm. Yep. The St. Patrick's
Mario spring, Williams.
Like, that's the Mario Williams spring. Yes. That's how we remember it around here.
Yes.
Right. So, but the record low is like below zero. So you can get a real big range in March, and we've certainly seen that this season.
Is this follow up on that? Is this the month with the largest range of records?
God, you are like your crack research team is on point today. Absolutely. March has the biggest swings, the biggest range from the highest high to the lowest low. Absolutely. Starting kind of late February into the month of March. March can be a crapshoot, you know? And that's been the case this March for sure.
Okay. So, but we don't have much time, so I got a few questions for you. We can go quickly here.
Yeah.
Number one, didn't you tell us one time that there's always been, always in Buffalo, snow in April in some capacity? Didn't you tell us once?
I think it's a great talking point that I carry with me in April is to remind people.
Okay, now, okay, well, we have the eclipse coming up on April 8th. Do you have any idea right now what we might be looking at around that time?
I want people to get fired up and excited about this eclipse. It is going to be amazing. I know people are somebody like, what's the thing? When it happens, I don't care who you are or what you are going to have an emotional response to the eclipse. Now, a lot of people want to know, what's the sky going to be? Is it going to be clear, partly cloudy? Hard to tell. This far out, it's still hard to tell. Climatologically, meaning typically in early April, you're kind of the chances of clouds are pretty high. The thing, though, is the closer to the lake you are, the better chance of getting some clearing, okay? So that's one thing to think about. We're noticing, though, that the trend for early April is a drier trend, which would be a good sign. But it's still too hard to tell about clouds. We've got to wait until we're about a week out to get an idea. But the most difficult forecast to make in this area, I got to be honest with you, isn't snow or wind. It's cloud cover, because it's so tricky with the lake and the hills and everything else.
I am headed to Orlando for the NFL owners meeting Sunday through Wednesday. I'm guessing it's going to be typical Orlando weather. You can tell me. Yeah, and then heading to Brisbane, Australia for 12 days with my family. Give me about 30 seconds on what to expect.
Okay, here's what we got. Orlando, fine. Looks dry. Did you know that Brisbane in Australia is at the same latitude away from the equator as Tampa, Florida? Okay.
No.
So that gives you kind of a perspective of the distance you are south versus Tampa is north. They're about the same. Does that make sense? So you
yes.
are as far south from the equator in Brisbane as Tampa is north from the equator. Okay.
Okay.
I've been analyzing some Australian weather today. Didn't have anything better to do. So I thought, let's take a deep dive. It has been a cool fall season there so far. It is the fall there. It's about, 1:30 in the morning. Right now, on average, temperatures there, 70s to 80s. So it's still nice. But remember, you're borderline tropics. So, I mean, not tropical weather, but, you know, you're pretty close to the equator. So 70s and 80s in the fall is pretty comfortable. And that's how it's looking as we head into April. Kind of tough to predict rain. It doesn't rain there a lot, but temperatures look pretty comfy at this point.
There's rain in my app, like, every time I look, but it looks like maybe like a Florida deal where it just, every once in a while it rains.
No. I saw that. It's in a couple of days. There's like a four-day stretch of rain. That's not very typical. I think there's a little spin up of low pressure close by. That's what's causing that. I wouldn't worry about that. I saw that too.
Buddy, we love you. Thanks for coming on today. I wish we could stay a little bit longer, but we'll catch up again down the road.
Have a good trip, Sal.
You got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Pat Hamer right there. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up very quickly here on the Extra Point Show. All right, Joe, here we go, buddy. Our show ends right at the right time, you know?
Oh, perfect time. 20 minutes.
I mean, getting home and watching it. And you got it. You got one game at 12:15. That's going to carry you over for a half hour. So short of that. That is Michigan State against Mississippi State. A good game, an 8-9 game. And then it's Duquesne against BYU at 12:40. The first two games are kind of standalone until 1:30 when things really get going. Akron-Creighton at 1:30. Long Beach State-Arizona at 2. Wagner-North Carolina at 2:45. Morehead State-Illinois at 3:10. And you're rounding out with Oregon, South Carolina, Nevada, Dayton in the 4 o'clock hour. And then we get to the night games. And then we're always going into tonight. The final tip-off tonight, Drake against Washington State at 10:05. And Joe, as you said, that's while the Sabres are on. You got a great night ahead of you tonight to watch sports.
All right, let's get a win and everything right in our bracket. Someone's going to get the perfect bracket this year. I know it.
That would be pretty amazing. Hey, thanks for sticking with us today. We had a really good show. We really appreciate Ben Ostro from Football Zebras for joining us. He broke down all of the rules changes and proposals, I should say, coming to the NFL. And then, of course, Patrick Hammer. Have a great Thursday. Have a great Thursday. Enjoy the NCAA tournament.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.